Filipino, Filipino, Filipino.
You're listening to Swept Together, the story of a modern romance between two adventurers at home, at work, and on the road.
We're your hosts, Christian and Annabelle. Join us as we explore the world and make our home together, wherever we end up.
Because after all, home is...
Malik Bayan.
Okay, so welcome to episode two, the Philippines episode of the Swept Together podcast.
If you haven't already listened to our first two episodes, you can check them out in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or you can go directly to our website, swepttogether.com, where we'll have show notes about all of the episodes that we've recorded.
Right.
And we would also greatly appreciate you popping over to iTunes and giving us a review. This is the best way for us to get the word out about our podcast to other awesome listeners like you.
Yeah, and you can also share it too from
yes.
from iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And podcast app.
We also have share links on our website.
Yeah. So we're back from our trip to the Philippines. And as you all probably know, if you've heard episode one, we were just in Mexico. We came back to Denver for a hot minute and then went back out over international waters to make it all legal. No.
What?
No, to go to the Philippines to visit my childhood home. I grew up in the Philippines. I was born there. And, you know, I came to America back in 1986.
He actually beat me to the U.S.
Right. I mean, you weren't even conceived yet.
I was not even conceived when
were
you...
Were you, wait, were you conceived?
No.
Did we already...
I was conceived, like, several months after you arrived.
Right, because I was here in April.
Yeah.
And so you were conceived, like, 3 months later.
Yeah.
Maybe your
approximately.
Parents were like, your parents were like, hey, we need to make somebody for Christian.
Weird.
I hope your mom doesn't hear that.
She's definitely listening to the podcast.
Hi, Mrs. Needles. So I didn't get back to, so I came here in 1986. I didn't get back for one reason or another back to the Philippines until 2005. So it had been like 19 years since I visited. And then I shortened the time frame and visit again in 2013 and again in 2016. And the reason for...
This is like a parabolic curve.
Yes.
We're going to... Eventually,
so now,
we're going to end up like going month to month.
Right. Because, I mean, hopefully we can get back there maybe next year.
Yeah.
Or at least cut it down. Not take 3 years or 19, mm-hmm. 19 years till the next time we get there. But the reason actually for this trip, it was not a planned trip, but... my Lolo, which is Cebuano for grandfather, it could be Tagalog too. I don't really know. I'm not exactly sure which words are Cebuano and which words are Tagalog.
It's like a big, happy family of languages in
right.
the Philippines.
So Cebuano, which is the dialect they speak in my island or on my island, Lolo means grandfather. And he passed away. And so that's the reason why we went to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the occasion, you know, we really had a good time there. I mean, we made the most of it. We saw a lot of family, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it was my first time meeting the majority of Christian's family.
On my mom's side.
On your mom's side,
yeah. We didn't have time to visit with my dad. They were on the... other side of the island, so
right. But I got to meet your sister for the first time,
mm-hmm.
your Lola, your grandmother, and a boatload of extended relatives.
My 79 cousins.
Yeah,
there were some cousins I hadn't met yet.
We were walking through. Well, funerals have a way of bringing everybody together, I guess.
Right.
So I got to meet a lot of people all at once because everyone was in town for the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
But we were just walking through town. We were on our way from the house to the market, and we were like bumping into relatives in the street, and then we'd walk by a house, and
my sister would point out,
would be like, oh, our relatives live there, or
I didn't even know any of this.
Yeah, it was crazy. There's so many of them everywhere.
Right.
But one of my favorite things that we did while we were there was just like sit up at night after dinner. We'd like play mahjong in the yard.
Yeah, you have to say it like a Filipino though.
Mahjong?
No, it's mahjong.
Mahjong?
Yeah.
Okay, mahjong.
No, not zhong. It's mahjong.
Mahjong?
Yeah.
Mahjong.
No, mahjong.
Mahjong.
Yeah.
Hey.
There you go.
And so it was my first time playing that, learning how to play that. So
we actually bought a mahjong set.
Yeah, we bought a mahjong set. Mahjong. Mahjong. Oh, God. If anyone knows any good apps for learning Cebuano, send them my way, because it's impossible.
And Duolingo does not.
Duolingo does not have Cebuano.
No. And we also rode around in motorcycles there. It's a really popular means of transportation. They're not really motorcycles. They're more like scooters. They're like smaller engines. You know, they're not the big, like Harleys, that are right. popular here in the U.S. We used it to get around pretty much everywhere. We went to Osmania Peak with a lot of my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And we hiked up there, that's the tallest point in Cebu. And we were able to see both sides of the islands from there.
Mm-hmm.
You already said that we went to the market. We saw like fresh caught everything there, really. Like
yeah.
fish, really, mostly. I mean, it wasn't like fresh caught
seafood
pig. It's not like they just run around and
seafood
wild.
And pork, I would say, are the two, like fish and pork were probably like the two
yeah.
most common meats that we saw there in the market.
And a bakery. You know, they had the little bakery there
mm-hmm.
that had really...
Star bread.
Star bread is delicious.
Yeah, and I think the other highlight of the trip for me, or one of the other highlights of the trip, was going to the town of Oslo, where we swam with the Butanding. Butanding?
Yeah.
Which is whale sharks.
Yeah, these were probably younger-ish whale sharks. They weren't more than
they
like
were probably
20
feet
25
long.
Feet. Yeah.
And so the
these
water was
can get
the
up
water
to like
was not very
feet.
Deep, but there was an area where they would feed them and they would come closer to shore. And we would go out in a boat and sit. We'd get in the water and then the whale sharks would swim by as they were being fed. And it was just unbelievable. Like these creatures are so huge. And you're just like in the water with them. It was insane. They were so beautiful.
A much better experience than what we had in Mexico a few days earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they were actually very ecological about it. They had biologists there on staff to make sure that people weren't like touching them or like
right.
molesting them in any kind of way.
Right.
They're very conservation minded.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want people to have like suntan lotion on because it would.
Right. We had to shower off all of our lotion or sunscreen so that it wouldn't
affect
them
yeah, negatively.
The water.
Right.
We'll
be pushing or publishing our footage of all that in our vlog.
Yes. Coming soon to the vlog will be a Philippines edition where. We'll have footage from swimming with the whale sharks as well as all the other things that we mentioned that we did while we were there.
Right. So sign up for the newsletter. There's a sign-up thing now.
On the website,
on the website.
Yeah.
Sign up for that newsletter so that you don't miss. You know, that's some really cool footage that we got. I'm really excited to show that to everybody. Some other, you know, interesting things that I noticed, like culturally, when we were at... It was just a place. You know, here in the U.S., when you go do these kinds of things, you got to go to the desk, and then, you know, you pay your fee, and then you have to sign all these waivers and all that kind of stuff. There they were just like, yeah, it's 1,000 pesos, pay us. And then you're like, here you go. And then they are like, okay, you go in that boat, go now. There's not, because they're not as litigious, I guess, and less formal than the U.S. So that's, you know, one big cultural difference. Another cultural difference I saw was when we were at the funeral. You know, there, that was my first time at a Filipino funeral, and my second time at any funeral, really. There's only two funerals that I've ever been to in my life.
Hmm.
I think, no, three. And then two of them were grandparents.
Hmm.
So the differences are pretty significant in my opinion. You know, in the U.S. funeral, it's like, it didn't take all day.
This was an all-day affair,
right?
For
I mean,
sure.
we got there very early in the morning, and then got to the funeral started at what, like
9:30,
right? 9:30 mm-hmm. in the morning, and it went all day. There were several stops. There were several events that went on, and it ended with like dinner, and then everybody kind of, you know, hanging out at the house and
mm-hmm.
and slowly trickling out. Throughout the night.
Yeah, I think a lot of my extended family, or a large portion of my extended family, is Catholic, Irish Catholic. So the funerals that I've been to, it was interesting to see the similarities in the two, because obviously they were both Catholic funerals, because the Philippines is predominantly Catholic.
Yeah.
So this funeral had like a Catholic service.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting to see the differences between the Catholic service, the Catholic funeral service in the Philippines, based on what I, or contrasted with what I was used to experiencing in my extended family. One of the main differences being the absence of bagpipes, which I just always associate with funerals. I don't know why, because we're not Scottish, but it's something that I've just always associated with funerals.
Were there any rainbows or leprechauns? Or hearts? No, I'm thinking of Lucky Charms. Never mind.
Yeah. Not even a single marshmallow has been present at any of the funerals I've attended.
So what I wanted to talk about mainly about in this episode was really the experience of, you know, my Lolo's passing. I remember the day that he died. It was July 3rd. Annabelle and I were walking around Cherry Creek, and I remember my stepdad Mike had called me, and I was like, this is weird. He doesn't normally call me at this time. And so I answered it, and he was like, your Lolo died. And I remember just crying, because, I mean, Lolo, to me, he was a man that I could really look up to. You know, he was just very a genuine person, and hearing everything that was said about him during the funeral really brought that out. And it really made me think about, you know, prioritization and where my priorities lie. My mom had asked me to come to the funeral that day. She was like, we're going to make some arrangements, and you know, we didn't have a plan to go to the funeral. In fact, on the day of the funeral, we were supposed to be in Mexico. But obviously, this superseded any of that. And we changed our plans and went to Mexico earlier so that we can still celebrate our anniversary, but still be able to go to the Philippines and pay our final respects to my Lolo. And, you know, I didn't hesitate because I had that priority straight. And my mom also asked me to say something in front of everybody that was going to be there. And I also didn't hesitate for that. I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know, you know, how it was going to go in terms of, like, if I was going to just, lose it and not be able to handle it, you know, talking in front of a bunch of people with my Lolo in a casket, you know, right in front of me. But, you know, the funeral was beautiful, and it was a sad day, but it was also, you know, it turned into an amazing day. Actually, that night later, when Lola told us, you know, the family, it was, who was around the table? It was you, me.
Your sister, your mom, and your stepdad, Mike.
And then Lola. Was there anybody else? I feel like there was some cousins, but, you know, she told us a story.
Assortment of cousins walking in and out, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, we were sitting around a table, and then Lola began telling the story of the night before Lolo died. You know, that Saturday night, the July 2nd, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that story was just kind of amazing. I mean, I think that Lolo, it was almost like he knew that he was coming towards the end of his time in this life. And she was telling us how they slept on the bed in like an L shape. So the bed was pushed up into the corner of the wall, I think. And they slept in an L so that both of them could get out of the bed easily in the middle of the night without disturbing each other. And
right.
So your Lolo could spread out.
Yeah. And it was also a small bed too. It's not like a giant, like king size bed.
Right.
You know, we come from a pretty humble, you know, family and in the Philippines. And so it was, I guess it would be equivalent of like a full size, maybe.
A full size bed.
I think so. Maybe it was a queen. I don't know.
Anyway, that was kind of how they configured themselves, was sleeping like foot to foot.
Foot to foot, yeah.
On the bed. And Lola got up in the middle of the night to get a snack.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked Lolo if he wanted anything, and he said no. But he asked her to lay next to him because he said they hadn't, you know, done that for a long time because of the, you know, the configuration that they slept in. And so she laid down next to him and they were, you know, side by side for the last part of their life together.
Right.
And I think that's just... You know, she woke up the next morning to find that he had passed away. And I just think it's such a beautiful picture of a relationship that they were together for over 60 years. And he had her beside him while, you know, at the very end.
The last.
I just think that's a beautiful.
Yeah, their last night together.
Picture.
And, you know, somehow Lolo, he knew that he was probably going to die that night. He was very sick. He had been very sick
dialysis.
For like 5 or 6 years. Yeah, he'd had dialysis that entire time, you know, two times a week, you know, and it wasn't easy to get to the dialysis center or to the hospital because we were in the province, which is like a 2 to 3 hour drive depending on the traffic. So every week he would have to go into Cebu City to the hospital to get dialysis. You know, that was 2 or 3 hours one way, and then dialysis would take like 4 hours. So towards the end of his life, you know, he was very sick, but he still had his priorities. You know, he knew he loved Lola and that he wanted to maybe give this or spend this time with her one last time together, the way they had, you know, when they were younger. And, you know, listening to everybody that spoke at his funeral, or everybody that I spoke to at his funeral, I knew that Lolo was a man who had his priorities straight and who had the integrity to keep those priorities. He was a government official for a long time. He's also a lawyer. And the Philippines is still a pretty corrupt country when it comes to government, you know, but he never did give in to corruption because that's the kind of man he was. And he worked for the Filipino people. Always. There were stories about him where he would represent people in court who couldn't pay or could pay very little. He accepted whatever payment they were able to give the people, so long as he believed that he was fighting for the good side.
Yeah, I think it was fascinating for me as an outsider who'd never met this man, whose funeral I was at. You know, the first part of the funeral celebration, I guess, the funeral events, was at the government building, where, you know, the mayor spoke and various like government people spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, hearing your family speak at the church service, and just the way that everyone spoke of this person, you know, you sometimes wonder, like, what would people say about me when I'm gone? And I think, like, it was interesting to me to, like, piece together this picture of a man that I had never met based on just the stories that, like, people told about him. And really, like, I mean, by the end of the weekend, like, I loved this guy. I'd never met him, but I just, like, he felt like such a special person just based on the love and the outpouring of just beautiful memories that happened during that day.
Yeah. And my mom had, she had asked me to help with that, with the inscription on the tombstone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me, you know, what she had already. What she had was, like, it said, "In loving memory, beloved husband, daddy, Lolo, and people's advocate." So that's what she had. And so I thought about it for a long time. You know, she asked me, you know, "Is there anything else we can add to this?" And I thought about it for a long, long time. You know, it took like 1 or 2 weeks for me to figure this out, you know. And saying that just now about Lolo, like hearing his story, you saying that you heard all these stories and then you kind of pieced together this man's life. And, you know, I thought about it for a long time, like I said. And, you know, one of the people that we listen to, Lewis Howes, and his podcast, The School of Greatness, his sign off is always, "Go out there and do something great." And at Lolo's funeral, hearing and experiencing his life through his stories and everybody whose lives he touched, and, you know, the people he helped, inspired me to add the, you know, to his tombstone. Like, it hit me, you know, I wanted to add, "Your life is a story worth telling." And, you know, this is like one of the reasons why, actually, you know, that was a huge motivator for me for getting this podcast, like, off the ground. You know, we'd already at that point started talking about it. We recorded an episode in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one episode we recorded. I didn't know if it was going to be something that, you know, would actually come to fruition, but, you know, hearing Lolo's story, I kind of told myself, I was like, I need to, you know, do this. I need to be the kind of person whose life is a story worth telling, just like his. You know, I want to help people and inspire people through our podcast. We talked about what we were going to do with this podcast. We wanted, mm-hmm, to encourage people, motivate people to do great things. with their lives and in the lives of others in service of others.
Yeah, and our mission statement kind of just sums all of that up really well, I think. And that's to push the boundaries of your comfort zone through entertaining and inspiring stories about love, life, and business on the road. Each episode that we're putting together is designed to encourage you in your personal journey, inspire a little bit of wanderlust, and build a sense of togetherness and community.
Yeah, and you know, and we want us to. I mean, through this podcast, we are experiencing the world. We're encouraging each other. We encourage you and inspire each other, and you know, have wildly passionate relationships with, you know, your significant other. You know, my significant other, which is you,
me,
babe.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. You're pretty significant.
I didn't want a plot twist to happen right there. That would have been disappointing.
Yeah. Good.
That called for a margarita break.
And, you know, we want to have wildly successful businesses as well, so that, you know, we can have the freedom to experience life like very few people actually get to do. And that's our mission, is to do that and help everyone listening to do that as well.
These are big goals.
Yeah, they're lofty. Big goals, but you know, I think,
what is that phrase, if you shoot for the moon, at least you'll land among the stars, or other way around. If you shoot for the stars.
And if you shoot for...
I messed that up.
Yeah. Well, I've always heard is to shoot for the stars, because if you miss, then at least you'll have the moon.
Yep. I like that. You said it way better. You should know it.
Because it's tattooed on my inner arm.
Yes.
Well, just the first, just one part of it.
Yeah. So, in keeping with our closing ritual of the podcast, it's time for the sweep up.
Yeah.
So what made you feel loved today?
It was more of a culmination of all of the things that you had done all week, because you worked really hard on our website and getting it to launch, or getting it to a point where we can actually publicly say we have a website and have it, you know, really looking good. And so that made me feel loved, like all week, like on a daily basis, seeing you working so hard on putting it together and making it beautiful and making it something that, you know, like a tool that we can use to inspire people.
Thanks.
What made you feel loved, baby?
What made me feel loved also has to do with the podcast, I guess, because we've been spending so much time working on it these last few weeks to get it ready for launching. But I think it really made me feel loved to see you, like press in to the emotions, like specifically of this episode.
Yeah.
I know that it was like a big deal for you to talk about this experience, and I know you wanted it to be awesome, and so just like seeing you work so hard at making this project great really made me feel loved.
I love you.
So, what about you out there in the
podcast land
and the listening audience? What made you feel loved today?
Yeah. You know, what are your priorities, in life, in business, in love, in your relationships? You know, go to the show notes.
SweptTogether.com/episode2.
The number 2.
The number, not TW0, but the act.
Did you say TW0?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, gosh. That's been a long day. Not TWO or TW0. Neither of those will take you to the right place.
No.
Episode numeral 2. Episode 2.
Sweptogether.com/episode2.
Wow, this is so hard.
Leave comments there.
Yeah.
On how you spell
how
two.
How you spell two. T-O-T-O-O. T-0-0.
Tell us about what inspires you or encourages you, or what priorities you have in life. Share them with us, the community.
You can also reach out on Instagram, on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Facebook. We're basically at Swept Together everywhere. You can come find us, reach out to us, and let us know what you're doing in your life to make it a story worth telling.
Yeah. And remember to share us with all of your friends, all of your business partners, your significant other. And we will talk again.
And rate us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Say nice things. We love you guys.
We'll see you in episode 3, which is...
Dun, dun, dun. I don't even remember.
Santa Fe.
Santa Fe.